Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you'd help us. Lord, we certainly have asked you to speak to our hearts this month in the matter of missions. And I pray, Lord, as we take a look at our homes tonight, and Lord, that you'll just help us to carefully examine, Lord, each and every one of us, the state of our homes. Lord, how can we produce young people that want to serve you and, Lord, want to and would be willing to do whatever you have them to do? Lord, help us to order our homes and the examples in our homes and the teachings of our homes so that, Lord, we produce young people that have a heart for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And had a phone call and a conversation with a man that's a youth pastor, and I hadn't seen him for about 6 years. I spoke at a youth workers kind of seminar, and he was one of the youth pastors that was there. And he brought up this subject that I'm going to speak on tonight. He was talking to me, catching me up on some things, had a couple of questions. And then he said, Brother Ross, you came to the youth workers conference and you preached a message entitled how to keep your teens out of full-time Christian service, how to keep your teens out of full-time Christian service. And I said, well, I adapted that from a Sunday school lesson I taught clear back here at the church, maybe, I think, 2014, entitled How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. Hey, it'll work either way. What I'm going to give you, if you want to keep them off the mission field or out of full-time service, take notes tonight because you can accomplish it. You can do it. And even though this is the packaging of the truth, the truths, I think that we ought to take a look at some very, very strong biblical warnings concerning our homes. Folks, listen to me. I would think and hope it would be your heart's desire to raise your children to want to serve the Lord and whatever God's will is for their life. And so we're going to look at some things that I hope will be a warning to you. If you've raised children and they are not all in full-time service or none of them are in full-time service, you certainly have not failed. You, as long as they're serving the Lord, that's what we want. And whatever God's will for their life is, then that's wonderful and good. But I do see some tendencies. I do see some things that I believe will take young people's hearts in an opposite direction and make them so that they aren't interested in God, aren't interested in serving God, and aren't interested in even continuing in church. And so give me a good hearing tonight, and let's let the Lord work in our heart. In Matthew chapter 16, we read in verse number 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm going to give you 10 things, and we won't spend a ton of time on each one. We'll do it in a timely manner. Number one, fail to teach them the three disciplines of a disciple. If you want children who will not grow up and serve the Lord, then fail in this very important area, and that is to teach them the three disciplines of a disciple. I could spend the rest of the message developing these 3 points. I won't. I want to remind you, because I've taught them in the past, but this is very important that you checklist these 3 things as you're raising your children. The Bible says, Jesus said, you know what? If any man will come after me, there's 3 very necessary requirements for discipleship. First of all, he has to be willing to deny himself. And number 2, he has to be willing to take up his cross. And then he has to be willing to follow me. All these things go against our fallen nature, okay? And it's not going to come normally or naturally to most children. And so if you have to work at this and you have to battle this a little bit, don't feel bad. Everybody has to work at this and battle this a little bit with your children. Maybe some have more of an inclination in this area than others, but we all have this fallen nature. And you know what? Children, especially young children, they're not interested in denying themselves. As a matter of fact, they're very interested in having their way. And so as you see that in your children, you need to begin to teach this. You need to make it such that sometimes they just need to say no to themselves. And then also take up his cross. And I'm talking about doing something hard, doing something difficult, carrying something heavy. You know what? Don't make everything too easy for them, okay? Young men need to grow up learning to do hard things, okay? If they're never challenged to do hard and difficult things, then we're not preparing them properly for serving the Lord. And so, because guess what? If you're going to follow Jesus, there's a cross to bear. All right, there's some things that you're just going to have to carry, and they're not going to be easy to carry, but if that's your cross, then carry it, okay? Don't whine about it. Don't cry about it. Just do it. And so, and then this last thing's talking about and follow me in this matter of fellowship. And it's interesting that some of the primary sins of the last days fall in contradiction to these three disciplines of a disciple. We live in a time that's where people are very selfish, young people are very selfish. Young people are very lazy. And you know what? Young people are very rebellious. They don't want to follow anybody. They want to do their own thing. And the more that that has come into the church, the less we are producing servants for the Lord and potential future disciples. So number one, fail to teach them the three disciplines of a disciple. Number two, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Number two, view your children as belonging to you instead of belonging to the Lord. View your children as belonging to you instead of belonging to the Lord. Now, we just taught a whole series on stewardship. And of course, we certainly included our children in that teaching. Psalms 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And we are taught here that children are a heritage of the Lord. And stewardship, and in our stewardship mentality, our biblical view of everything that we have, we understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. And then it goes on to say, and all that dwell therein. So it's not just the earth is God's and everything that's in the earth, things are God. It's also every person belongs to God. Hey, those children are lent for a very short time. Come on, some of you that, you know, you have just started your family. It hasn't been that long and children have come on the scene. And come on, isn't it something when you look at that third birthday or that fourth birthday and that fifth birthday? And isn't there a part of you that said, How can they be three? How can they already be five? Well, I got the bad news for you. You're going to feel the same way on every birthday, and they're going to come quick. And you're going to look over at a young adult one of these days and say, "What happened to my children? What happened to my kids?" And you know, they're lent to us. And the Lord says they're my heritage. They're not your heritage. They're my heritage. And so, as stewards, we believe that they belong to God. You know, Jesus, you think about that story when Jesus was 12 years of age. And the Bible said this wasn't spoken out of a rebellious heart, obviously, because it's Jesus Christ. There was not a shadow of sin in what he said. But you know what? Mom and Dad kind of lost track of him. And he was in there in the temple asking the doctors questions. And they all of a sudden realized as they had left Jerusalem that he wasn't with them. They went back seeking him. And then Mama, being a mama, when she found him, she chewed him out a little bit, you know, because, you know, she's relieved. Part of her wants to hug him, but part of us wants to smack him. And, you know, we didn't know where you were. And this is what he said. Notice a 12-year-old son said this. The perfect example said this. How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my capital F Father's business? Now, think about that. Mom and Dad, I love you. Mom and Dad, while I'm in your home, I'm going to be subject unto you. And Jesus was. He went down and was to Nazareth and was subject unto them. The Bible says he was. He wasn't a rebellious kid. But sometimes Jesus, in this instance at least, had to look at Mary and Joseph and say, you need to remember something. As much as I love you, you know what? I'm put here to do my Father's business. And children, ultimately, you're put on this earth to do your Father's business. And for Jesus, that was going to Calvary and dying on the cross for our sins and doing something different for us, but we all have God's will for our life. You know, Brother James and Miss Sammy, you know, came up with their little Julia the other night and dedicated her to the Lord. You know what? Can I say this? That's a right and proper thing to do. It's so awesome when someone has a brand new baby and they have the early realization that this baby really is not ours. And we want to publicly let everybody know that we're dedicating this child to God's will and God's service and for us to raise them with that intent. Number three, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your church. Encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your church. Romans chapter 8, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, capital S. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Think about that. It's good questions to ask. What do we mind mostly? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the capital S Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then it goes on to say this, for to be carnally minded is death. Wow. So if we raise our children to be carnally minded, then anything that God wanted them to accomplish in life is probably going to die. That carnal mindedness is going to kill the potential for them finding and completing the will of God. But to be spiritually minded, watch this, is life. Do you want to exist or do you want to live? Do you want to exist or do you want to live? Carnal Christians exist. Spiritual Christians live. Carnal Christians, you know what? They have turmoil, plagued with guilt. Down deep, always knowing that they're not doing what God put them here to do. Interesting, it says the spiritually minded produces life and peace. There's nothing better than finding the will of God and doing it for your life. And so we have to raise our young people to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Of course, in the letter to the Laodicean church, I know thy works, Jesus said, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And what I've seen is that there's a danger. You know, you wouldn't think that this, if it wasn't in the Bible, I'm not sure that we could convince ourselves this was the case. You know, I think we would probably say, well, the worst thing to do is just to be ice cold when it comes to your Christian life. It'd be better to at least be lukewarm. Maybe that'd be the best choice, second best choice. And then, man, to be on fire for God, that'd be the best. That's probably how we would rank it in our thinking. And Jesus says, I don't look at it that way. He said, I think the worst thing in the world is for somebody trying to find where the middle is. And so this lukewarmness, just be careful about that as we're going over these things. Listen, don't spend all of your time defending yourself. Spend all of your time really asking God, show me. Have we just kind of produced kind of a worldly, carnal environment in our house based on the things that we watch on TV, the things that we talk about, the things that are important to us, the things that aren't important to us? You know, just take a good look at it. And I've said something, and I'll stand by it. I can't find an exception to it. I'm just telling you. And I've asked a couple other preachers, hey, help me if I'm wrong. And all of them looked at me, two or three or four I've had this conversation with. And I can't think of an instance you are. But I've seen two different kinds of home produce full-time workers and young people that are dead serious about serving God. I've seen the hot ones. I've seen... Listen, I'm not talking about a perfect home. Okay, if it took a perfect home, none of us would ever produce anything, okay? But I'm talking about where there is a sincerity about serving the Lord. And there's a realness. You know, kids get up and they don't, it's not a strange thing to walk in a living room and mom and dad's reading their Bible and they talk about the things of the Lord. I mean, you know what? Listen, their faith is genuine. It's genuine. It's not something they put on and put off. It's not something they are on Sunday and then are something totally different during the week. There's a sincerity and a consistency to their Christian life. Now, out of those homes, young people say, you know what? This is real. This is not something we just play at. This is not something we put on. This isn't play acting at church. This is what we do. This is our love for the Lord. This is how we live it out. And a lot of those families will produce, some of them at least will produce kids that are going to full-time service, or maybe some kids that will maybe not go in full-time service, but hey, you know what? You'll find them in church serving the Lord, you know? And then there's what I say, you know, I sometimes say, you know, they'll come out of red hot homes or they'll come out of the home of drunkard. And a lot of times what you see in the bus ministry is that we pull kids out of homes that really don't have, I mean, come on, there's not a Bible, there's no talk of God, there's no faith, but they come to church and they see it lived out in the families that are here and they realize it's real and becomes real in their life. But I'm going to tell you, I've said, show me a young person that's sold out to God that was raised in a wishy-washy, halfway in, halfway out house. And I'm not saying, I'm going to stand up here, I'm going to tell you, God's grace and mercy is amazing. I'm sure if we scoured the planet, there'd be some. I'm just saying it's a whole lot more likely from these two scenarios than it is in the middle. And so, you know what? Be real in your faith. Number four, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Discourage your children from surrendering to full-time Christian service. Now, I think that we can do this, and we can do it if we're not careful, even subconsciously. Most people that are doing this is because you already have your own dream for your children. Sometimes I see parents that are trying to live vicariously through their children's life. Maybe some things that they didn't accomplish or didn't get to do, or some things that they did get to do and they want their kids to do it too. And you know what? It becomes this driving force that, you know, I already have what I want you to be in my mind, and we're going to keep pushing that agenda in your life, whether it's God's will or not. And I'm not talking about even into a sinful thing. I'm just talking about not being tender to what the leading of the Lord is in their life. And so be very careful. You're not discouraging your children from surrendering to full-time Christian service. You know what? What is said in your home when some kid does surrender to full-time service? And that's not a part of your family. Well, what is said in your home in the next day or two after that? Okay, is that a thing to celebrate? Is that an exciting thing? Is that an encouraging thing? Or is that something to be talked down and to be doubted and to be, you know, let's throw some cold water. I mean, heaven forbid, this whole thing might catch and it might, you know. So, you know what? Let's encourage our young people. I think every dad ought to have a one-on-one talk with each of his children. I think every mom ought to have a heart-to-heart talk with each of their children. Listen, God will give you those moments. Right. He will. Come on, moms, dads, God will give you those moments. I think, you know what? I think there's times when you got to do everything, something with the whole family. But I think, dads, there's times when it needs to be you and one of them jump in the pickup truck, take a trip to town or find something to do. And then say, okay, and have a good time and laugh and cut up and have great, great memories. And then say, you know what? I want to talk to you about something. And I want to talk to you about the will of God. And I don't know what it is for your life, but I want you to find it. Most important thing in the world. You know, tell them if you did, some of us didn't know to do it, you know, but if you dedicated them as a baby, say, you ought to tell them that story. I mean, you ought to tell them that story so many times that they could tell the story themselves. It ought to be in their heart. It ought to be in their mind. Damn, this is why mom and dad brought me into this world. This is what they began to pray from the moment they found out mom was expecting me. This is what their wishes are, their dreams are. They want me to find God's will and do it. And so you'd be surprised how many times, and you can read it in the Bible, but you talk to the older generation. You know, Betty Townsley, you know, her and Brother Bob was blessed with a late child. Luke was born very late, later on in their life. And Mrs. Townsley said from the time that she was expecting Luke, and it was kind of a miracle, God gave him an unexpected baby, and she said, you know what, I just said, Lord, if you'd call my son to be a preacher, that would be so pleasing to me. And she began to pray that God would call him into the ministry. She's told me that story I don't know how many times. Where's the mamas that are going into their bedroom at night when the kids are asleep and say, God, wherever you want to take them, I want you to take them. I don't care if it's on the other side of the world. I don't care if we just get to see them on a screen. I don't care if I only get to hug my grandkids every 3 or 4 years. Lord, wherever you want them. I want you to have them. I want you to take them. I give them to you. And you know what? There's something about being raised in a home where that's known, that's talked about, that's clearly communicated. That's the goal, you know. So don't be careful about discouraging your children from surrendering. You know, in the book of Amos, boy, you talk about an indictment against Israel. Listen to these words. Also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness. This is God speaking to Israel. To possess the lands of the Amorite, and I raised up of your sons for prophets and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. And he said, during a time when I was trying to bring revival because of the direction your nation was going, I purposely raised up some of your sons to be Nazarites and prophets. And you know what you did? You helped them pollute their Nazarite vow, and you told them, don't preach, don't prophesy. Don't be a preacher. Think about that. And so, you know, me and my wife had a discussion just recently about this. And I'm sorry, I've been here a long time. A lot of kids have gone through here. You don't know who I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, I've watched kids get on fire for God, and I've watched parents start throwing cold buckets of water on it. I've watched kids surrender, just maybe not to something specific, but just to whatever God would have for them. And I watched them. How come they have to get out of your home into camp to have God do something, and then when they get back home a week later, it's undone? I mean, I wondered as a youth pastor, you know how many times I just wanted to come up and just ask a parent that. I didn't. Because you know what? Listen, moms, dads, you're the primary. I've told our parents through the years, I won't get in a tug of war with you over your kids. I'll let go. Because I'm not going to be the one that stands and answers to God for your children. We're here to assist. You're the primary. But man, you ought to be doing everything you can to encourage them to serve God. Be careful about that. Well, that when I read that portion of scripture, it just breaks my heart. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Wow. Number five, never use the church altar during the invitation. The Bible warns us in Hebrews three different times about the danger in hardening our hearts. Hebrews 3:8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 4:7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Three different times in Hebrews, God warns us of this idea of hardening our hearts. And folks, listen to me. Stay tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't rate a sermon as being a success or a failure based on how many people do or do not come to the altar. I got over that a long time ago. I don't even worry about it. You know, a lot of times, the honest truth, you've seen your preacher kneel down behind this pulpit during an invitation more than some of you have knelt at an altar. And, you know, if you just are going to sit there and you have kids in the pew beside you and they never see that you allowed the Spirit of God to use the preaching to bring you to any kind of a public decision, then they're going to think that's the norm. That's how you respond to preaching. Right. You just sit there, stare at the preacher, bow your head, get out the door, and go about doing what you've always done. Right. And you know what? You can raise kids to do that. Okay, they'll be the next generation of pew bumps. Or they won't be in the pew at all. Okay, so just stay tender to the leading of the Lord. Number six, never get involved in any soul-winning efforts of your church. I'm talking about how to keep your kids off the mission field. Don't get involved in any of the soul-winning efforts of your church. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth very precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love it. I love that so many of you, bus workers, I see you out there. I've run into you before. I've heard you give testimony and stories about me and you fill in the blank. One of your children was out visiting the other day and God allowed us to meet this person. You realize taking your children out with you is the best way to introduce them to soul winning. Besides this, let me tell you something. You bring a cute kid with you, they will talk to you and not be as mean to you than if you show up by your ugly self, all right? So bring the cute kid with you, all right? But you know what? That's just normal and natural. Kids around here are just growing up in it. They're just growing up in it. You know, I mean, they learn to walk, and soon, you know what? They're walking by mom and dad down a sidewalk, holding out a gospel tract to somebody. That is awesome. That is awesome. And then we get them up to the teenage year, seventh grade. We've got a regular Wednesday night program to get them out there, and we train them up, and they learn to do it by themselves and talk and have that boldness and develop that boldness. And listen, the delivery of the gospel, be involved in soul winning becomes a normal thing. It's just my life. It's part of what we do. But folks, not just on a scheduled time once a week, but to be able to start carrying that in the activity of your family's life as you go about your day-to-day activities. And your kids see that you take the time to pass that track out or invite somebody to church or share your testimony or say something good for the Lord. And they grow up around that. And you understand that just is so normal. Why wouldn't I at some point be open if I'm raised in that environment? Why wouldn't I be open to the idea that the Lord might want me to do this all the time, full time? And so never get involved in the soul winning efforts of your church. Number seven, make it fair game to criticize and hold in disdain people that are serving the Lord full time. Make it fair game to criticize and hold in disdain men of God or ladies of God, people that are serving the Lord full time. Boy, be careful about this. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you, look up here, you don't have a perfect pastor. I've told you, if you just need to find something all the time wrong with me, come see me. I can give you a list. And I know more of what's wrong with me than you do. Plus, save you a lot of time and aggravation, you know, just, you know. Come on. Come on. If you've always got to find something to disagree with me about, two things are true, okay? I'm wrong all the time, which if I am, maybe you ought to go find a church where you can find a pastor that can get it right every once in a while. Or maybe you just have developed a critical spirit. Okay, and I'm not here just to defend myself. I'm here to try to keep your kids from growing up with a negative attitude towards this idea of serving the Lord. I mean, as you've gone home and talked about the missionaries that have been here, man alive, I hope it's been good talk. I hope it's been encouraging. I hope it's been, man alive, to imagine that and what the Lord's called them to do. And isn't that exciting? And build it up. Build these people up in their minds, okay? And just be careful about falling into that idea. My dad's generation used to call it having roast preacher on Sunday afternoon. That's what I heard. I don't think I ever used that in my preaching, but I remember dad's generation talking and warning against getting a habit of going home Sunday afternoon having roast preacher all the time. You grow up in that environment, your kids are sitting around that table. And you know what they're going to say? Why would I ever want to serve God full time when everybody just criticizes you and you're wrong all the time and people put you down all the time? And just be careful, folks. Be careful about that, okay? Okay, it's not a matter of me trying to defend myself or telling you that I'm always right. I'm just saying, if you can find something wrong to talk to them about, you can probably find something right to talk to them about. And so just be careful about that, okay? I do think, and Paul said this, he said, told Timothy, young Titus, he said, he talked about, by the way, it's in our portion of scripture we get our theme verse from, but he told some things that Titus needed to stand for and to preach. And he said this, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And then he said this, let no man despise thee. And that word despise means to undervalue you. And the one thing I'm not going to allow, I mean it, I'm just not going to allow people to undervalue the office of pastor. I'm not going to do it. Okay? I'm not worried about defending me, but I am worried about defending this office. Because these young people should not hear the office of a pastor belittled. You know, if I see a kid that's misbehaving and they're mocking and being scornful of the message, I'll tell you, I'll blow them to kingdom come. Talk to people that have had me out in camps, man. I mean, I'll light the kid up. I'm nicer here than I am out there. I mean, you ought to be glad I'm so much nicer here. You know what? Why? Because I'm not, listen, the Bible says smite the scorner. smite the scorner and the simple beware. Okay, sometimes you're not going to save the scorner. I don't even do it for the scorner. If he's reached that point, she's reached that point. The Bible teaches there's only one person who can change that heart, and that's God. Not my job to change it. But it's my job to keep it from spreading. Okay, so, you know, we've got to be careful about some things. I'm just asking you, parents, please be careful. And by the way, extend grace. Okay, I watch all of you. Do you think I've never seen any of you do something wrong? Do you think that every week me and my wife go home and just talk about every family and what you did that particular Sunday that I didn't think? What are we doing? We love you. We're thankful for you. We can find 1,000 things right in every person's life in this. That's what we focus on. That's what we talk about. Good night. Stop this nonsense, all right? Okay? Be careful about it. Number 8, fail to involve your family in missions giving and or missions projects. And that's a danger. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. He says in Philippians, now ye Philippians, chapter 4, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no man communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And then Paul says this, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One of the things that you want to make sure that you're helping your children get excited about is missionaries and missionary projects and opportunities for sacrificial giving. And, you know, I don't know what's a big deal in your house right now or not, but I'm hoping up near the top of the list for 2021, a big deal is a church plant starting in Jasper. I think it ought to be something you talk about. I think it ought to be something you've already coached the kids to think about, sacrifice, and say, hey, this month we're going to all of us give something. We're going to all give something, and we want to see this happen. And pastor's talking about a Barnabas Sunday down the road. Imagine being able to do something that they did in the book of Acts, where we pray and get God's guidance and sell something really worth something and bring that money and give it to something like this. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I drive over to Bloomfield, still do, and sit in that parking lot and weep tears when nobody's there. Praise God for what's happening right over there in Bloomfield. I drive down to Princeton, you know, and I go to the donut bank. I sit in that parking lot and I weep tears and thank God that the donut bank exists down there in Princeton. How many of you have been to the donut bank? Is that what it's called, the donut bank, something like that? A donut shop in an old bank. I love it, man. I praise the Lord. And then I drive to a church down there. And you know what I think about? I think about really how little it was that God asked us to do in comparison to what's happening right now. And I'm just like, God, I am so glad that I have had a little part in this. Listen, folks, watch this. Why is it important to teach your kids? Because where your treasure is, that's where that's where your heart's going to be. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It's going to follow the treasure. And so, you know, if you spend more money at restaurants in a week's time than you do in putting a church plate, then I imagine, you know, food's probably a bigger deal in your life than souls. You know, the indictment against America has been said all the way back in the 1950s and 60s. Lester Roloff and others were calling us out on it. But America's spending more money on dog food and cat food than they do on worldwide missions. That hasn't changed. Okay? I mean, imagine what we stand for, God. Us American Christians one of these days. He's going to say, you were one of the most blessed, financially blessed nations in the world. And you did what? Right. Compared to what you should have did, could have did, you did what? And so, you know, these are the things we have to be careful, because you may not be teaching it verbally, but they're watching it. Okay, man, if you get more excited about a flyer that comes through the mail than you do the church bulletin and who's coming in the next few weeks. Okay, let's just be careful, folks. What is our kids seeing us sacrificially give to have? Okay, so be careful about that. Number 9. I want to say this. Listen to me, okay? If you want to keep your kids off the mission field, raise your children to be prejudiced. raise your children to be prejudiced. Yeah, we need to say this in Green, Sullivan, and Clay County. Okay? Some of us are more that way than we want to admit. Some of it is because of the way we were raised or what we heard Grandpa kid about or not kid about or Dad say or not say. But wait a minute. Come on. You know what? Jesus loves the little children. Amen. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know what, folks? We don't have a real diverse congregation because of the demographics of the community that we're in. You know, I told you the story about somebody sending me a mean email because they got on our website and saw a picture of all of us standing out on one of the anniversaries in front of the church, and that picture's on there. And they raked me over for the fact that we didn't have enough minorities represented in our church family. So I just Googled demographics of Greene County, you know, racial demographics of Greene County, you know. We're like 98 point something white people, all right? Kind of what we are. So if we use black stuff on our face, we're racist, so we can't disguise ourselves. We can't joke about it. We can't kid about it. We can't try to fake it. We just, you know, I mean, we're who we are. But you know what, boy, if we're not careful, and I haven't said all of that, I'm going to tell you something. If you were to walk away from an opportunity to witness somebody because they got a different color skin than you, shame on you. I mean, that's wicked. That is wicked. You know, I'm glad God did what He did. You know, my life doesn't have to be your life, but God taught me some good lessons. And man, He took this kid from Jacksonville, Indiana, you know, white American, plopped me down in inner city Chicago and little Mexico, and man, I didn't know what they were talking about, but I loved their food. I did love their food. Come on now, are you about revival? But you know what I did? I just learned to fall in love with the people that were so much different than I was in their culture, their language, and some of the things. But I learned to admire so much about them too. Hey, we haven't got all our act together either. Okay, and you know what you find? I don't care what race it is. There's people that are extraordinary. And then there's bums. And you know what? That's true in white America too. Okay? It's not a skin color issue. It's a character issue. Okay? So you know what? Be careful. Be careful about that. Kids that are raised very prejudiced. You know, when somebody talks about going to Africa or going to China or going to somewhere, I mean, literally in their hearts, why would I go to tell those people anything? You know, look down on somebody because of their skin color. Be careful about that, okay? Let me give you the last one. Raise your children. If you want to keep them off the mission field, raise your children to be materialistic. We've already talked a little bit about the spending. But the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. He either hate the one, love the other, else he will hold to the one, despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And that's not talking about making a choice between full-time service or working a secular job. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Talks about whether or not the things are your God or God is your God. We've talked about that when we talked about stewardship. And in 1 Timothy 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing to this world. It was certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, this is what I'm talking about, materialism. I mean, a focus on I am going to make money and I'm going to have things. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, we got to keep this thing balanced in our life. And I'm not going to reteach everything I did in stewardship. You know what? We talk about the work ethic. We talk about the importance of providing for your family. And folks, I'm not going to put people on a guilt trip for working hard and being smart. And matter of fact, I talked to you about this idea of diligent thinking and God giving you ideas. And I'm, hey, yay. But all that produces tools that we can use then to serve the Lord. That's all it does. And I think it was Brother Bud told me, would you say that about your dad saying that he was, people would ask him what he did. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. I am a coal miner. You tell me how you said it.
My job is being a Christian. I work the money.
I work at the mine. I love that. He said he'd heard his dad say that growing up. Okay, my job is being a Christian. I work at the mine to pay expenses. I love that. I love that when he said that. And you know, isn't it interesting how the world wants to define you? You know, well, what do you do for a living? And someone says, I am a... And we take our occupation and we draw this association with it as if it defines us. And listen, I'll do it. You'll do it. You know, I'm not mad. I'm just saying, you know, that's the right mentality. Imagine if we really trained ourselves to answer that question when somebody asks, well, what do you do? I say, well, what I do, a full-time job is I'm a representative, I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. Now, I work down at such and such place so that we can keep the lights on. But you know what? That's what I do. Young people, you're being raised in the right kind of homes. You're being raised in the right kind of church. The emphasis that we're trying to get you to focus on, don't fight against it. Think about it. Back up. Really look at this thing. Because only one life, so soon it is passed. It's going to be gone before you know it. You don't want to get to the end of your life and have all kinds of stuff, but be empty-handed when you stand before the Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a church family, Lord, that has a heart to raise their children for the Lord. But Lord, all of us can have things that creep into our lives and keep creeping to our homes that we just maybe haven't taken the time to do a good inventory. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd keep us tenderhearted to these things. Lord, the most exciting things in our children's life ought to be eternal things, serving God, loving God, getting to be able to be involved in church ministry and the spreading of the gospel and helping people, being a blessing to people, loving people. Help us, Lord, not to get so focused on all the stuff that we, next thing you know, our priorities, it gets so easy to get them all mixed up and messed up. So help us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.